Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. Today, we're going to keep it a little short and sweet, but we're going to cover some fun topics. I hope you guys are as excited as we are. Before we get to that, though, I know that a lot of you guys are dealing with some decision fatigue and we have some deadlines coming up, so we will go over that first. Megan, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. Yeah, I look forward to jumping into, I think, a short and sweet, fun episode today. Really getting everybody to kind of organize our thoughts. We're coming up on a lot of deadlines. There's a lot of student loan information out there right now. So we wanted to just put together a simple, quick, you know, some bullet points on what we should be thinking about right now, what's probably applicable for everyone who's listening to this, and then end this conversation with some fun stuff. So we'll talk about some fun ideas we've got for those who are getting forgiveness and who are expecting cancellation here coming up. So with that, let's start with some advice for really anyone right now in this time of crazy student loan news, things changing what seems like every day, every other week. There's a lot of decision fatigue right now about what should I be paying attention to? What am I eligible for? Where do I even start? And so I think the very first thing to get started with, if you are just beginning to take a look at all of the information that's coming out, is to get access to your FSA account or your federal student aid account at studentaid.gov. This is the hub of all things federal student loans. And this is for anybody who's listening to this. Make sure your contact information is updated with FSA as well. If you've never logged into this site, you'll need to create an account. This is if you have federal student loans, you'll create an account through studentaid.gov. It'll immediately want you to update your contact information.
I actually did this recently because I don't have any student loans, but I was so curious to see like my grant history. And so I recently did make an account with FSA. So I can speak to that a little bit. It might take you a few days because part of the process is they have to verify your social security number, which can take 2 or 3 days. And so if you feel like you're going to need information ASAP, make the account ASAP because you might not have the account to access right away. Like even if you have an account, if you're still in the process of having your social security number verified, you're not going to be able to see any of your personal details.
Another good tip is if you're someone who's getting on an income-driven plan and you are married, your spouse is going to have to sign off on your income-driven applications in the future, even if you file taxes separately. So if your spouse does not have a studentaid.gov account, it's probably a good time just to go ahead and create one for them. It'll be a shell of an account, so not much information in there, but it will be the way that they'll be able to electronically sign off on your applications in the future. And just as you said, Sim, it takes a couple of days for them to verify your social. So studentaid.gov, very important website. Make sure you have access to it. If you have federal student loans, you'll get all details coming through the pipeline about cancellation and things relevant to Department of Education loans. And then make sure your contact information is up to date. Let's get into the next bullet point.
Okay, so this is a big question that a lot of people have right now is, should I consolidate? Well, if you have a commercially held FFELP loan, there's very little downside to consolidating right now. If you're going for PSLF or if you're going for income-driven repayment and you're using the waivers, they actually explicitly state that you have to consolidate. So really no downside. Your interest rate might go up a little bit is a downside. And if you consolidate, you're going to have to recertify your income. But other than that, probably just go ahead and do it because it can take 30 to 90 days, probably on the longer end at this point. If you don't have FFELP loans, probably still a little downside. We don't have an FAQ still for the IDR waiver. I can't believe that. But one thing that they did say explicitly on studentaid.gov is that you will get credit for payments made prior to consolidation. So we don't really believe that if you consolidate, you're going to start your payment count at zero. We just don't know with 100% certainty what your payment count will be. It's likely going to be modeled after the PSLF waiver, in which case you would get the highest number of qualifying payments, but we just can't promise that. But since there's little downside, again, when in doubt, it's probably not a bad idea to consolidate.
So this, I think, is an important topic, too, because we are coming up on some deadlines that we'll talk about here next. So if you're someone who's listening to this episode and it's October 30th and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, I haven't heard about anything on this. Should I consolidate? The answer is probably yes, to be safe, just in case, because you have to have that consolidation application submitted for PSLF purposes by October 31st. that's really only for those who are working in a public service capacity full-time or did in the past, who think they might have some credit towards PSLF that they can now claim through the waiver. So safe answer is probably yes. Go ahead and consolidate if you are down to the wire and you don't have enough time to figure out if you shouldn't, because there's very little downside to consolidating at this point. There's a lot of upside though. FFEL loans being converted will have access to all the benefits that federally held loans will have access to now, like payments being frozen, interest being frozen, eligibility for cancellation here coming up, the $10,000 and the $20,000 that was announced recently, eligibility for PSLF now and going forward. There are just so many positives to consolidation right now, very, very little negatives. And if you're unsure and you're in a pinch, then the answer is probably go ahead and just consolidate. And then I think, you know, make sure you're on the right repayment plan later on, but that's the bigger step is the consolidation. So I thought that was worth mentioning.
And I also just want to address something that I've heard from a few borrowers, that they are being told by MOHELA that the consolidation has to be completed by October 31st. Just to kind of clarify, we're looking at the language of the waiver itself, and it doesn't actually say that it has to be consolidated by that date, just that it has to be done by that date. So I wouldn't panic if I were you. Just go ahead and do it when in doubt. But I just wanted to, you know, mention that this is something that we've heard from a few borrowers, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true.
I've also heard MOHELA is encouraging people to consolidate if they have multiple loans in general. So even if they just have direct loans, I've had multiple clients tell me that they've been told by MOHELA representatives to go ahead and consolidate because it's easier for PSLF processing. And that I could understand that, because if you have 12 different loans, every single loan has a payment count towards PSLF. Should they be different? Probably not. But they could be. And then that's a big problem that you have to figure out later on and argue with the servicer about. So I think they're trying to, in a sense, make their job a little bit easier and your tracking a little easier by suggesting consolidation. Again, the only downsides or just things to know about consolidation is that it will make you recalculate your payment if you have to go on an income-driven plan for these things. So it's going to make you update your payment based off of the most recent filed tax return or your current income, if your current income is different. So that's just one thing to consider. And then those that have those FFEL loans that had those really awesome, really low interest rates in the past, could it increase when you consolidate? Yes. But the downside to not consolidating is that you miss out on a lot of the things that are only offered to those federally held loans right now. So if you have questions about if you should consolidate, check out our website. We do have a couple articles on this topic. Send an email to help@studentloanplanner.com if you have questions. But I thought this one was a big topic worth bringing up because it could be relevant to almost everybody. So another topic just to be on the lookout for, if you're kind of lost, you're overwhelmed with all the stuff that's going on right now, if you need to kind of filter in on what's important to you, if you're working in government or nonprofit. So if you're at a government, federal, state, local, tribal, city, county, job, or a nonprofit, a 501c3 organization, and you're working full-time or you have in the past, pay attention to public service loan forgiveness. Use the PSLF help tool on studentaid.gov to submit your employment certification form. That's something for you to pay attention to if you're in government or nonprofit. If you are not in government or nonprofit, then all this PSLF stuff is not relevant to you. So don't worry about the October 31st deadline. Don't panic. It'll probably sound like you need to worry about something, but if you're not working in public service, you don't need to pay attention to that deadline. If you're someone who's on an income-driven repayment plan, though, which is a lot of people, look out for the IDR waiver that was announced back in April, where they're developing a payment tracker that's going to be available in early 2023. So on studentaid.gov, they're going to have some more transparency on telling you exactly where you stand with your IDR payment count. So if you're going towards the 20 or 25 year timeline to forgiveness, not PSLF, but the longer term forgiveness, thankfully, we are going to have a way to track that forgiveness here shortly. So that is something that could be relevant to a lot of people who are not going towards PSLF, but who are on an income driven plan. Do you think we rounded that out okay, Sim, to kind of filter out, hey, these are some big, big topics that people should be paying attention to?
I think the only other topic I would add is the Biden forgiveness, because we're getting a lot of questions about that right now. So if you made below the income thresholds that they put out, you'll either get $10,000 forgiven or $20,000 if you've had a Pell Grant. So a situation that a lot of folks are in right now, and actually my husband is in right now, is that we made some payments during the payment pause when we didn't have to, because we thought we were going to just pay these things off. And we decided to not make payments and just save some money in a high yield savings account. Then when we learned about forgiveness, we decided to ask for a refund like a lot of other people, because once he gets his refund, he's still going to be below the $20,000. So he'll be able to get it all forgiven. Well, like a lot of people requesting refunds right now, there's long wait times. Like when we asked for it, we were told 30 days. Now people are being told 60 days or even longer. One thing that may be the case that we're still waiting to get some more details on is that if you're going to get a refund and that refund is going to still be less than the threshold of the amount that you're going to get forgiven, you might not need to request the refund. You would still get it forgiven anyway. I don't know if that's the case. So I would say go ahead and ask for the refund anyway, just to be on the safe side, but you might still be able to get that forgiven even if the refund doesn't come quickly.
Good stuff. Okay. So just to kind of recap those quick bullet points, first, everyone with federal student loans, make sure you have access to FSA or studentaid.gov. Second, make sure your contact information is up to date with that website so you get all the updated information from the Department of Education. Third, if you're someone who has FFEL commercial loans that are not participating in the COVID forbearance right now, it's probably safe to consolidate. In general, it's probably safe to consolidate if you're in doubt. Fourth, anyone who works in government or nonprofit work, pay attention to the information about PSLF that's out there right now and use the PSLF help tool to submit documentation to prove your employment in public service. Fifth, anyone who's on an income-driven repayment plan pursuing maybe the longer-term forgiveness after 20 or 25 years, look out for the payment tracker that's going to have some more transparency on where you stand with your course towards forgiveness starting early 2023. And then lastly, $10,000 or $20,000 of cancellation, that's coming. The application will be available in October. If you've made payments on your student loans when you didn't have to during this COVID forbearance, you may not have to ask for a refund, but maybe do so just to be safe. So those are the big ticket items we wanted to touch on today to help with this decision fatigue that people might have with all the information that's out there currently. Let's now roll into deadlines. Do you want to kick it off with just the what's coming up the most recent or coming up the soonest?
The most impending deadline that we have is the PSLF waiver. So no indications that that's going to be extended. I think they would have announced that by now. So that is expected to be expiring October 31st of this year. So just a little over a month away. So that's coming up. The next one is there's going to be an application that's available to apply for cancellation. So who needs to apply? The idea is that the Department of Education doesn't just randomly have your income information unless you've been giving it to them because you're on an income-driven repayment plan. So if you haven't had to recertify recently or you're not on an income-driven repayment plan, you're probably going to have to apply for the cancellation. So that application will be coming out sometime in October. And they're encouraging people to apply before November 15th if you would like to receive cancellation before the end of the year. But the actual deadline will be well into next year in December.
So don't feel too panicked because, and if the website crashes like it kind of did with all the cancellation,
it will.
So don't panic. You'll have time. The application will be available going into 2023. But if you need or want to have the cancellation done by the end of the year, November 15th is what they're advising. Next on the deadlines is the IDR waiver instructions for FFEL loan borrowers to consolidate. So right now, there's still no frequently asked question. They don't have the technicalities of this IDR waiver posted quite yet. They've got some good information, but not the nitty-gritty like they do for PSLF. But the one thing we do know is true, and what it says right now, is that anyone who has those commercially held FFEL loans need to consolidate by the end of the year, which is December 31st of 2022. So that's one deadline to be aware of. If you have those FFEL commercially held loans, you've been in repayment for a long time, the IDR waiver might be something relevant to you. That's something to look out for. And then to kind of add on to that, the IDR tracker I mentioned earlier, that's going to give folks some transparency on where they stand towards the 20 or 25 year forgiveness is going to be available sometime early 2023. That's all they've said so far. So I am very much looking forward to that. We will definitely put out some content once we see that and once we start to see folks being able to track their payment history.
And this one's not really a deadline, but just a date to be aware of is that payments are slated to resume again in January unless they extend it. But they have said, again, that this is a final extension. So let's plan like it is. And if it's not, then we will update our plans accordingly.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think that gets into kind of the business of today. Next, we wanted to talk about something I think could be really fun, really heartwarming. What's really exciting is we've seen another wave of a ton of people getting PSLF forgiveness. I got lots of emails last week or over the weekend that balances have disappeared. It's been really active in our Facebook groups, like the PSLF physicians and teachers group, that people are seeing their balances gone. Poof.
Yeah. Last week was a really active week. My inbox has also been blowing up. It's really exciting when we get to see all the people that, you know, we've been working with actually getting forgiveness a few months later. It's super gratifying. Megan actually saw a post on one of the Facebook groups of someone who wanted to pay it forward. And so you want to tell it, Megan, because it's your post.
Sure. Yeah. It just caught my eye because she posted a picture of like a bouquet of flowers. So this person said, "Feeling blessed. I've had my loans forgiven and I've decided to use some of that money that I no longer have to pay towards my loans to do random acts of kindness. My neighbor went back to work today after a year of following her breast cancer diagnosis and treatment. Flowers and Starbucks. So fun." I encourage others to consider as well, and let's make this world a better place. I thought that was really beautiful. And so it made us kind of brainstorm some ideas that for those that are getting loans forgiven right now, or that are getting some cancellation to where it's going to free up some cash flow, maybe paying it forward. And that could be in a couple different ways. We came up with a couple different categories. So the first one was paying it forward to yourself in forms of self-care. Do you want to kick it off?
Do I love me some self-care? I can talk about self-care all day outside of student loans, but we came up with a list. And so the first one that I thought of right away was mental health, right? Therapy, because we're getting out of a pandemic. A lot of people have been socially isolated. They've been alone the last couple of years. Student loans, we've talked about this in other podcasts and how that can like be detrimental to your mental health. And so if you have some extra cash flow, maybe you can now go see a therapist, you know, once or twice a month or even more frequently. That's a great way to take care of yourself because you can't pour from an empty cup.
I love that. Yes. And, you know, maybe another idea is a spa day. Take yourself on a day or a weekend retreat, get a massage, get three, you know, whatever. Let's relax. Let's treat yourself. Maybe throw in some travel there. Travel somewhere cool.
A lot of people weren't traveling because I couldn't get on an airplane. I was just so uncomfortable. And now I'm like, I want to see the world again.
See family, you know, travel out to go see family or fly people to come see you. You know, now that travel has kind of opened up quite a bit, it's exciting to be able to get out of your town.
You can also hire like a personal trainer if you want to like get your body back in shape, if you've been sitting at home a lot because you couldn't go anywhere, or hire a dietitian if you need help with a meal plan. And it kind of alongside that, I know we talk about like in financial planning, we always talk about meal prep because that's a great way to save money, is save money on food. I'm going to tell you to do the opposite. Maybe you should go ahead and sign up for one of those meal kits, and maybe a couple nights a week, you don't have to cook. Maybe that's just a form of self-care for you, is to not cook.
Yeah. And then, you know, maybe volunteering more. Maybe that's another good idea that fills your heart, does something really great in your community and something that you care about. And I know you had a great idea with having a part-time sabbatical.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't listened to last week's podcast, I am on a part-time sabbatical. And so I love what I do with Student Loan Planner. I get to help people with their student loans and I do that part-time. And then the other, you know, hours of my week, I'm doing self-care, I'm working on some things, and I have, you know, free time. I can go travel again. I can see family. I can just feed my soul. And I know that's not something that everyone gets to do, but for some people who are going to experience kind of life-changing loan forgiveness, maybe now you can cut back at work, right? Maybe instead of working 5 days a week, now you can work four. And there's a lot of fun things you can do when you're on a sabbatical. I didn't end up doing this, but there's this group out there. It's called Woof. And it's basically where you can like work on a farm for, it can be a day, it can be 3 weeks, it can be 6 months, you volunteer your time, you live on the farm, and you get to learn some skills. That's, I guess, for people who want to go off the grid, kind of Henry David Thoreau a little bit, but there's a lot of stuff you can do. But just the point being that you have more autonomy with your schedule and you're working because you want to, not because you have to.
Yeah, I love that. And cutting back at work, kind of just extending off of that, making more time for things that you really enjoy. Like if you do enjoy cooking, if you're taking a couple hours off your schedule a night, maybe you have time to come home and cook for the family or cook for you and your spouse or whatever. Or maybe you have time for that hobby class that you've wanted to take, but just your schedule never really allowed. So I think it's cool to elaborate or to highlight that, because I think if you were going towards public service loan forgiveness, you had to be working full time. Well, if you just got your loans forgiven, you don't have to anymore.
So you have a lot more flexibility. Absolutely.
Cool. Well, some other ways we can pay it forward. We talked about self-care, and now we wanted to talk about ways that we could pay it forward by not actually costing yourself anything, but maybe doing things for others and doing things for free, essentially. So one way could be telling a friend about public service loan forgiveness, pay this forward in that way. And why I bring this one up, and I mentioned this to Sim before, I had 3 meetings back to back today where every single one of those people scheduled a consultation and were going through the PSLF process because a colleague or a friend or a family member had been bugging them about PSLF, telling them that they needed to pay attention to it. And all 3 of them are going to be on track for getting their loans canceled. So it was an exciting day for me seeing all that positive planning going on. And it was all because their friend or their colleague or whoever bugged them about it. So tell a friend who may have lost faith in the program, tell a family member, tell a neighbor, you know, whoever, scream it from the rooftops to try to help someone else get to a similar result or get a lot closer to PSLF. Or be able to take advantage of the 10 or the 20,000 that's coming up.
Another thing you can do if you have some free time now, if you're kind of opening up your schedules, maybe you can volunteer to babysit someone's kids.
Give them a date night, maybe.
Give them a free date night. Get some childcare experience if you don't have any, whatever. But I'm sure mom and dad will love you.
Or if you have another skill like woodwork, or if you're some kind of handyman or handywoman, you know, maybe volunteer those services to someone who might be in need or someone who's been trying to get a certain project done for a long time. Maybe volunteer your time to help with your skills and help them finish that.
If you're a baker or a knitter, you probably already have those tools in your house or those ingredients. And so go ahead and make something for somebody. It's a labor of love. And I can taste the love. I know when someone makes something with love versus yeah. when it's store-bought. I feel like I know.
Love it. And, you know, just another one, I said this earlier with self-care, because it does, I think, help our own hearts, but volunteering, that of course helps whoever you're volunteering for, whatever organization or group that you're volunteering for.
So those are sort of some of the things that you can do to pay it forward that don't cost any money. If you do want to put a little cash to paying it forward for someone, you can give a gift to a friend who's in need, put together like a care package. You know, if someone's in the hospital or someone just had a baby or there's like a meal train going on, you can put some money towards that.
Maybe bring coffee for your whole office today. If you've got some time before you're driving into the office, get some coffee, some good coffee. that pumpkin spice stuff that comes out around this year.
Oh, I love
whatever.
It.
Whatever.
If your parents took out any Parent PLUS loans to help pay for your education and you have some free cash, maybe depending on what mom and dad have planned for their loans, maybe help them pay it off. If that's what they're doing with their loans, if they're not going for forgiveness of some kind, you can maybe throw some cash their way.
Or maybe seek out someone who might be in need that could use or could benefit from a scholarship or a contribution to their student loans. Someone who, you know, has maybe struggled with paying theirs down, and, you know, a lot of this relief is maybe helpful, but maybe they're not at the point of cancellation or loan forgiveness quite yet, maybe contributing to someone else's kind of scholarship or benefit there.
Yeah. And I know some churches have kind of what's called like a helping hand fund, but there's also like non-religious nonprofits that do this as well. But basically you can kind of chip in to help pay for someone's utility bill, someone who couldn't pay their bill that month and just need like a little kind of like what we call a modest needs grant. They just need a little bit to get them to the next month.
maybe try paying it forward in the Starbucks line or the, you know, Chipotle line, whatever line you're standing in today.
Whatever line you've seen on TikTok.
Yeah, whatever line. I always love those stories where it's like it went for 8 hours and it you never want to be the one that ends that, right?
Yeah. Another one is you can leave some money in the break room vending machine just so someone can get a little something on their break.
This next one is my favorite one, and it takes me back to like the childhood days. But, you know, maybe take a wander through like Goodwill or your local thrift store, take some dollar bills with you or 20s with you or whatever, poke them in pockets of some pants or jackets like that are hanging up on the rack. Not people. Let's not do that. But clothes hanging up on the racks. Because that was always the best feeling. Do you remember that? Like as a kid, like you, or like even a teenager, like you put money in your pocket and you put it away for winter and you've totally forgot about it. And you pull it out next season, put it on and your hand goes in your pocket and you're like, what's this?
A nice like, Chris Bell.
Such a good feeling. So imagine doing that for someone who's like, definitely not expecting it, just like shopping for clothes for winter or whatever. You know, and you could do that with clothes that you're donating maybe to a local charity too. But I always thought that was such a cool one. And I'm definitely going to do that one here coming up for this winter.
That's a fun one. I like a lot of these.
Awesome. Well, hopefully these give you some ideas. This is, of course, not an extensive list, but I think these are just some that came to our minds that we thought were pretty cool. If you have some ideas, like post it in your corresponding Facebook group, the PSLF eligible physicians, PSLF eligible teachers. Let's see which other ones we've got. PSLF eligible nurses. Post it to your group. Let people know what you've done if you want, of course. And let's spread a little more good now that you've got your loans canceled or forgiven or you're about to. Let's spread some more good around the world.
I think that's such a good point, Megan, because I think so many people, when they think about free cash, they want to be responsible. And so I kind of joke and I say, these are the boring financial planning things you can do, like saving more for retirement or paying off other debt. And those are great things, but you don't want to get to like 65 and you're sitting on your large 401k and you're lamenting the life that you didn't live. And so you do have to find a balance. You do have to spend a little bit of money today, whatever makes sense for you and your budget, of course, but you know, life has to be meaningful. You have to find value in what you're working for.
Yeah, of course. We could have totally talked about the responsible things to do today, but we talked about the fun stuff because we thought that would be a little more
uplifting. Feed your soul. Yes.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us today on this shorter episode. Hopefully made you smile a little bit, maybe got an idea for what to do, you know, how you can maybe put a little bit more good into the world yourself. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Take care, guys.